Well, today in our Colossians series, we come to chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, which is all about prayer. And I love this portion of the book of Colossians. I love talking about prayer because prayer is such an incredibly exciting topic. All right, so Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It sounds like this. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When we say continue in prayer, the idea there is to be strong. Like, stay with it, endure, don't give up, you know, stay with it. All right, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Along with that, praying also for us. So the Apostle Paul is saying, please pray for me too. Praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, a chance to speak to people, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He's in prison at this time, right? This is one of the prison epistles. And he says, pray for me so that I can reveal it, make it manifest as I ought to speak. I want to tell more people about the importance of this. In that little section, we're going to see several big principles. And the first one is going to be on unceasing prayer. The second one, watchful prayer. The third principle, thanksgiving with your prayer. And last of all, intercessory prayer. So all of these topics are so important, and they're kind of just glommed together into one little section of Colossians. All right, so we start out with this idea of unceasing prayer. We want to pray all the time. And so in chapter 4, verse 2, it just says, continue in prayer. Like, endure, stay with it, don't give up, don't flag, don't get tired, stay with it. And what we're talking about here is responding to every prayer cue that the Lord sends us. So, for example, a flash of temper. You think, oh, I'm getting upset with the driver in front of me. All right, that's your cue to pray. And you're going to pray something like, forgive me, Lord, give me love for this person who's in front of me in the traffic doing whatever he's doing. Or if you're having a flash of temper with somebody at home, a flash of temper with somebody in your workplace, and anytime you feel that temper, that irritation, that's the time. That's a cue. Okay, well, it's time for you to pray. All right, a flash of anxiety or depression. If you are moving along all of a sudden, oh, you know, I feel all anxious, or, oh, I feel so down, I feel so despairing, I feel depressed. Whenever you feel like that, that is your cue. That's the Lord saying, okay, well, it's time to pray, whatever you're doing right now, a quick arrow prayer up to heaven. And that's going to sound like this, maybe something like this. Thank you, Lord, for 10,000 good gifts. And you probably ought to list a few of those. All right, here's what I love. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this person into my life. Thank you for my tools. I really like my tools. Thank you for my tools. Thank you for a reliable car, a pretty nice house to live in, and a refrigerator. Whatever. You just go through it. And you feel a flash of anxiety and depression. Thank you, Lord, for 10,000 good gifts. And only please give me as much health and success as you think best. So why are you anxious? Well, because I wanted the promotion at work and it might not come. All right, well, there's your prayer then. Lord, how about if you give me as many promotions at work as you think would be good for me? How about that? Now, all of a sudden, you're going to find that your stress levels are diminishing. Flashes of relief and joy, like, woo, that's so great. Thank you, Lord. Then that's just, you know, a quick thank you, Lord, for another new mercy. Something nice happened? Oh, okay, well, that's your cue. That's time for you to pray. At the outset of an argument, oh, I want to let this person have it. That's your cue to pray right there. You do want to let that person have it? Okay. Quick arrow prayer to heaven. Lord, please help me to be a peacemaker, not an arguer. Because peacemakers are the best, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. When a response is required and you don't know how to respond. So someone says, hey, you know, what do you think of that election? You think, oh, if I say the wrong thing here, I'm going to be in big, deep trouble. Lord, help me know what to say. So that's your cue to pray. And so there are all these cues that come all through the day. And the text just says, continue, just all the time, continue in prayer. And you see in Ephesians 6:16, this is the parallel text. Remember, Colossians and Ephesians are twin epistles, right? They say almost the same thing over and over again. And here is the Ephesians version of that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching in it with thanksgiving. So this idea everywhere in Scripture, you have to pray all the time. And these little arrow prayers, when a cue comes, oh, I'm anxious. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm out of temper. Oh, I don't know what to say. That's your cue. So you just pray and you just do it, you know, many times conversationally with the Lord. And it's everywhere in Scripture, right? Here are the commands. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Just send up some more prayers. In Romans 12:12, be rejoicing in all patient tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer. Oh, yeah, quick arrow prayer. I got to pray about this now. Philippians 4:6, don't be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Like all the time, well, I'm going to pray about that, I'm going to pray about that, and I'm going to pray about that. Everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Oh, that's true. This was great. I'm going to thank the Lord for that. I'm going to thank the Lord for that. And I'm going to thank the Lord for everything. In Ephesians 5:20, again, giving thanks always. That's all the time. For all things, everything that happens, it just comes up all the time. You're just going to have to send these arrow prayers up. That's your cue. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's always another thing that God deserves to be thanked for. And so let's do that continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So all of those are commands. Every single verse that we just went through is a command to pray like all the time. Lots of little arrow prayers all the time. All right. And then you have examples besides the commands. So in the 34th Psalm, the psalmist says, well, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. It's not a command. It's an example. In Colossians 1:9, the Apostle Paul says, we don't cease to pray for you. We pray for you all the time. We think about you. We pray for you. In Ephesians 1:15, I also do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It's not a command. It's just what the Apostle Paul did. In Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. They continued in prayer. They just prayed a lot. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in prayers. They just prayed a lot. It's not a command. It's an example. That's what the early church did. In Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. We'll pray about lots of things all the time. Always another thing to mention by way of thanks or request. And then in Acts 12:5, when Peter was in prison, says prayer was made without ceasing for him. And so, well, we're concerned. Every time we think of Peter, we're going to pray for him. And that's what they did. And of course, he was released from prison. So you're responding to prayer cues. Something is happening. That's your cue to pray. It might sound like, please, God, or help me, God, or thank you, Father, or I love you, Lord, or I'm sorry, Lord. All of these cues to prayer. What you have to realize, and this is why this topic is so exciting. Every single time you pray, and I'm sure of this from New Testament statements along these lines. Every single time you pray, do you realize that? Every single time you pray, something fine happens in God's universe. It's not always going to be the very thing that you prayed for, but every single time you pray, another domino falls in the universe. And once that one falls, another one falls, and another one falls, and away you go. And we're sure that this is true. Here's how we know. First of all, Matthew 7:11 says that the Father is eager to give good gifts to you. So he's already eager to do it. And we learn that in Hebrews 4:15, the Lord Jesus actually feels sorry for you. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He feels sorry for you. So when you pray, you are praying through our high priest who actually feels sorry for you. I mean, his heart is in this, right? And then we read in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is groaning for you. He is so emotionally involved in this that he's groaning for you. So Romans 8:26, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He feels very sorry for you. So we have a Father who wants to give you good things, a Son who understands the feeling of this, and the Holy Spirit, who's so emotionally into it that he groans while he is interceding for us. That is, bringing our requests to the Father with words of his own. And then finally, in Matthew 7:8, we have this, and everyone who asks receives. Everyone. So you might not get the very thing that you prayed for, but everyone who asks receives something grand from God. So like when I was a kid, I had my heart set on getting a go-kart. I just wanted a go-kart, and I thought about it all the time. And I thought, you know, I just have to take measures to get a go-kart. And so I talked about it a lot. And then I always thought, I wonder why Dad doesn't get me a go-kart. Like, wow, you know, I'm upset about this. But I didn't know that Dad was listening. I didn't know that Dad was wanting to give good gifts to me. I didn't know that Dad was feeling sorry for me. And I just knew I wanted a go-kart. I didn't have a go-kart. One day I came back from a sleepover at my friend Danny's house, and I'm cutting through the garage to get in the back door like I usually do, and look in the trunk, like, what's that? You know what? It's not a go-kart. You know what it was? A mini bike. Well, I didn't even know that I wanted a mini bike. I thought I wanted a go-kart. But mini bike, wow, you know, that was so great. And you know what that did? That started me on this trajectory of a love for two-wheeled vehicles. And as you know, it never went away. Now, I kept saying, Dad, I want a go-kart, I want a go-kart, I want a go-kart. Go-kart didn't come. But something better did come. Everyone who asks receives. You say, I'm asking for a go-kart. Well, you know what? If you don't get the go-kart, just don't you worry about it. Because there are dominoes falling in the universe from a father who wants to say yes, and a son, Christ, who really feels your feeling, and he's sorry for you. And from a Holy Spirit who is so emotional about all this that he groans because he's really into this. And then the Lord says, and everybody who asks receives something fine. So it might not be a go-kart, but it'll be something fine. So don't worry about it. And that's just the way prayer works. And that's why we love this topic. And then it says we're going to be watchful in prayer. And that's kind of special, right? So again, at the top of the slide, you see the scripture text. Continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. Watch. You know why it says watch? Because we are at war. What you need is a watchman on the wall because there's just trouble. I mean, you can never let your guard down. You know what you need? You need a security guard on your property. You need a gatehouse. You need somebody who's pacing the hallways. You need somebody who's watching because we're at war. This is very bad. And you can't let your guard down. And the wolf is at the door. You think, yeah, there are wolves out there. No, you don't understand. The wolf is at the door. So you have to watch. You need a guardsman. You need a security guard. You need a lifeguard. You need somebody watching. And so this text says, I just want you to pray all the time and watch because the wolf is around here. You can't let your guard down. There's a wolf around here and he's on your property. So you have to watch. And so that's the way the Bible reads. And the parallel text in Ephesians 6:16, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching with thanksgiving. And you remember what's so special about Ephesians chapter 6, right? That's the spiritual warfare passage in the Bible. I mean, we have Satan and evil spirits who are always at the door. And so the text says that we have to pray and we have to watch in prayer because we are at war. There's a lot of bad going on. Prayer is so essential here because it keeps us focused on being an eager executor of God's mission in a moment by moment sense. So the Lord wants me to do things, and because I'm praying, I'm aware that the Lord is watching me, that the Lord has ideas for my life, and so I'm just aware, you know, I really need the Lord. So I'm relying on Him, depending on Him. And so, you know, this prayer just always reminds me I'm not a big shot, I'm a little shot, and I need the Lord. Or there's going to be real trouble because we are at war and the wolf's at the door, and I really need the Lord. And so prayer keeps us focused on all of this reliance that we have. And also, prayer simply repels the forces of evil. Every single time you pray for a loved one, every single time you pray for a loved one, the Father wants to say yes. The Son is touched by the feeling of what you're praying. The Holy Spirit is so into it that He's groaning in behalf of you and this prayer. And the Lord definitely is going to send you something. Everyone who asks receives every single time. So we're praying for loved ones. We're praying for our own lives. And every single time we pray, the forces of evil are pushed back another inch or another foot or another mile every single time we pray. You see how important that is? When the beekeepers want the bees to settle down, they blow the smoke and the bees hunker down. They think their hive is on fire. They hunker down and they gorge themselves on honey, thinking that if they fly away, they'll at least have that honey safe and sound. So they gorge themselves, but they become slow and they don't move very quickly when they are engorged with honey. And so it's much safer for the beekeeper to move around. This smoke is your prayer. Every time you pray, every time you release the smoke of prayer, you are holding the forces of evil at bay every single time. That's why it says, continue praying. Now, don't quit. Don't flag. Don't think it's not doing anything. Every single time you pray, it matters. And you're pushing the forces of evil back 1 inch or 1 foot or 1 mile. Just keep doing that and watch. Because it's really scary out there. We are at war. So we're going to continue unceasingly. And we're going to watch because we are at war. And we're going to do all this with thanksgiving. Love every part of this section. We're going to watch. We're going to maintain watch, and we're going to be cheerful about it. If you ever go to a Navy retirement ceremony, you are likely to hear a poem that sounds a lot like this. It's been reworked just a little bit, but whenever they read this at the Navy retirement ceremonies, I get a little emotional. It's very touching for me to hear this, and there are huge, you know, spiritual indications with this. For many years, you stood watch. While others were sleeping, you stood the watch. As loved ones watched the war clouds loom, you stood the watch. Watchmen, we stand with you. We also have the watch. And they ring the bell and the guy retires and somebody else takes the watch. We need all of our Christian friends praying because we're standing the watch. And it's a bad world out there and the wolf is at the door and war clouds are looming. And so we have to continue and we have to watch. And we have to do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just so critical. Again, Colossians and Ephesians are parallel, twin epistles, right? So here we are, the Ephesians version of that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a kind of prayer that is very, very special. Should never, never be underestimated. The thing is, when you are thankful, and we'll say it this way, only when you are thankful, only when you are thankful, are you in touch with reality. And so imagine that you are feeling, oh, life is bad. That means you are out of touch with reality, God's reality. God is, and particularly if you're a believer, right? If you're not a believer, then all bets are off. This is for believers. If you're a believer, you can count on this. That the Lord is only sending into your life what is ultimately good. It may seem like it's not good, but it is good, or He wouldn't send it. It's good in the sense, even if it's bad, it's good in the sense that either it's going to, as I always like to tell you, right? It's going to arrest you in your waywardness. It's going to stop your waywardness. It's going to accelerate your growth. Going to prune that grapevine back. It's going to grow better. Or it's going to showcase your love and loyalty to the Lord so you have everlasting rewards. So if He sends it into your life and you're a believer, He sends it into your life, it is absolutely good. You think, I don't think it feels good. That only proves that you're out of touch with reality. You don't understand what's going on. Hopefully, you'll someday, very soon, understand, and then you're not going to be so worried about it anymore. You're not going to be so disappointed with life anymore. The reason you're worried and disappointed is because you're out of touch with reality. God's reality is such that whatever you're going through right now, this is very, very good. You don't understand it. I was reading, this fellow said he was in a different room and his wife was carrying their little 2-year-old baby on her shoulders. And for some reason, the baby reached up and grabbed onto the top of the door frame. And it made his wife drop her and dropped her on her head on a tile floor. He said the scream was just chilling. And of course, you're worried about a skull fracture. So to the emergency room they go, and they want to shoot some dye into her system. They're afraid she's bleeding under her skull. And when they shoot the dye in, for whatever reason, it's very, very painful. So they shot the dye in and they got the image and they weren't sure with what they saw. And they had to do it again. The little girl hated this. It was so painful when they shot the dye in. And she's looking right at her dad, this tiny little girl. She's looking right at her dad. Said, "Daddy, no, 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 don't let them do it. Daddy, they're hurting me." And there's not one thing he could do about it. And he said, it hurt him. She's appealing. Like, stop, you know, don't let them do this. But they have to do it because if she's bleeding under her skull, you know, it's life-threatening. So they have to. And so you look at the Lord and you say, "Stop it, Lord. No, no, no. This hurts me. Stop, stop." He can't stop. It's what you need. It's what you need either to accelerate your growth, to arrest your waywardness, or to showcase your love and loyalty so you can have eternal reward. Say, "No, no, Lord, stop it. I don't like it. Stop it." And God is just mean. The only reason you think that God is mean, or you're worried, or you're disappointed, is because you're out of touch with reality. If you knew what God's reality was, you'd understand, and you wouldn't be worried anymore, and you wouldn't be disappointed anymore, and you wouldn't be angry anymore. It's because you don't understand. And so we realize that only when we're thankful, you know, you wouldn't expect a little girl to do this. But, you know, in her right mind, she could have looked up at her dad and said, "This hurts me so much, but thank you for taking care of me and paying all these hospital bills." Like, well, who would do that? I know. But that is right, right? That makes sense. And someday when you go to heaven, every time you thought, "Oh, I'm so mad at God," you'll hate yourself for being mad at God. God was always working in your behalf. And every time you were disappointed with God, "Oh, God is not so good to me," every single time, you're going to hate yourself for being disappointed with God, because God was always doing the right thing. And every time you worry and said, "I just don't think the Lord is being good to me. I don't think the Lord has the right idea here." Every time you worry about it, you're going to hate yourself, because you're going to know, "Oh, the Lord was right all along. I should have been thankful in all those times." And the only reason I wasn't thankful is because I was out of touch with reality. I didn't know what I was talking about. That's true. Only when you're thankful do you have God's view, God's perspective. Here's a man with polio that I like to tell you about from time to time. When they first told me I had polio, I was scared stiff. I experienced extreme pain along with my fear and desperation. My whole attention was upon getting healed. And then I realized that for me, God first wanted my praise and my thanksgiving. As I praised Him and thanked Him for my life as it was, peace started to replace my fear. I want to say that He healed my spirit. I still have polio, but I'm not the same sick person I once was. I can laugh now, and I think I'm happier than most people who come to sympathize with me. As I look back, I realize that I'm happier now than I was before I had polio. This may sound crazy to some people, but it's true. Only when you are thankful are you in touch with God's reality. Everything else, it's just not real. You're imagining things. It's not right. Here's Bethany Hamilton. Remember her story? She was injured as a surfer. A tiger shark severed her arm, and she loved to surf. And so here she is, 13, and of course, young girls are always worried about, you know, their appearance. And she doesn't even have an arm, and she loves surfing. How are you supposed to surf with one arm? What's she supposed to do? But she's a devoted Christian. So here's what she said. Even in those days, she said, "I wasn't mad at God. I trusted He was in control and had a better plan and would do what He always does, redeem. Thankfulness changed the course of my life. When you feel frustrated, disappointed, fearful, or simply whiny about something, stop yourself in your tracks and name something in the moment or situation that you are thankful for. Watch how choosing to focus on what you are thankful for can positively alter your mind, uplift your relationships, beautify the moment, and possibly even beautify the actual obstacle you're facing. Let gratitude be your habit and focus on it daily." Now, of course, it was a long time since she was injured. Now she's a young mother with, you know, wonderful children and all that. But all of these years, she's lived according to that exhortation. And you should know that it's only when you're thankful, you know, like even if a shark bites your arm off, only when you're thankful are you in touch with the real reality. Everything else, you're just imagining things. she knew what to do. Nick Wojcik, you remember, he was born without arms and legs. He has a hard life, but he has impacted so many people running around the world telling them that it's okay if you're disabled, if you have troubles in your life. It's okay because God works on the inside of your heart, and he's the one who is going to give you the strength and emotional buoyancy to rise above it all. He says, often people ask how I manage to be happy despite having no arms and no legs. The quick answer is that I have a choice. I can be angry about not having limbs, or I can be thankful that I have a purpose. I chose gratitude. He is impacted. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, almost every single one of us would gladly trade places with him, because that guy right there, all by himself, is responsible for thousands of people becoming Christians. Right there, that guy right there. And if he had arms and legs when he was born, there would not be a lot of influence, a lot of impact in this world. He would have been just another person doing just another thing in this world. But because of that, he's been promoted to being a hero. In heaven, that guy is going to be a hero. And there will be no one who says, oh, you know, poor Nick in heaven. He's going to say, wow, he is the man. I mean, what a wonderful person. And we would all trade places with him. So if we don't feel thankful, it's just because we're imagining things. We're not even in touch with reality. Here's Johnny Erickson Tata, whom we all love. And this interview was very special. In August of 2004, she was on the Larry King Show. And he was talking to her about death and heaven and what it would be like. And so to Larry King, who, you know, as far as I know, had never become a Christian. He's a Jewish person, and he was very friendly toward Christians. And I hope he is a Christian today in heaven. That's my hope. I didn't even know him, and I prayed for him all the time because I just like Larry King. And when Johnny was talking to him, she said, but if I could, I would take this wheelchair with me, and I'd be standing next to my Savior Jesus Christ. And I would say, and you know her story, right? She's quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down because of a diving accident at the age of 16. All right, so I'd be standing next to my Savior Jesus Christ, and I'd say, Lord, do you see this wheelchair? Well, before you send it to hell, which is, you know, humorous, wheelchairs don't go to hell, but whatever. I would say, Lord, do you see this wheelchair? Well, before you send it to hell, I want to tell you something about it. You were right when you said in this world we would have trouble. And there's a lot of trouble being a quadriplegic. But you know what? The weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you, and the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. Thank you for the bruising of a blessing. It was this severe mercy. Thank you. Unbelievable, right? Thank you that I can't move my arms and my legs, and everybody has to dress me and help me go to the bathroom and bathe me, and I can't do so many things. But thank you. Because of what you did, my life has impacted so many others, and I've drawn close to you. And if anybody ever wonders, does any human being who ever goes through a hard time still love God? I can say, well, I've been through a pretty hard time, and I still love God. And heaven stands up and cheers. Like, amen. The only reason you'd be disappointed or worried is you're just imagining things. You're not even in touch with reality. Here's my Hall of Fame for heroes of the Christian faith. Beginning with the top left, that's Glenda Revel, who was severely, cruelly abused both physically and sexually by her parents. You see in the middle is Nick Wojcik and a man standing next to him whom we've talked about. On the right-hand top side, you see Corrie Ten Boom, who went to a Nazi concentration camp. Her sister actually died there. And in the midst of all that, she was able to be happy and thankful, amazing. At the bottom, left-hand side, we have Bethany Hamilton, who we've talked about. Next to her is David Ring. He was born with cerebral palsy. And once again, because he was so mocked and bullied as a kid, he understands what it's like to be mocked and bullied. That guy right there as well, he goes around the country telling everybody what it's like to have cerebral palsy, and he doesn't even speak very well. His speech is hard to understand. He sometimes says, I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? And so he, all by himself, once again, there are thousands of people who go to heaven because he had cerebral palsy and used it for Jesus. Next to him, we have Cleve McClary, who's all shot up and blown up in Vietnam. And he found the Lord to be faithful. He's cheerful. He runs around the country telling everybody about the Lord's faithfulness. Next to him is Dave Reaver. A phosphorus grenade went off next to his face in Vietnam and burned him so that really it didn't even look like he had a human face. It's been all put together. He has a fake eye and a fake ear. And he said that sometimes he comes home from preaching. He travels all over the country preaching. Comes home from preaching and he's so tired he takes off his glasses and his false eye and his false ear. He said, the next morning I have to wake up and play hide and seek with myself and find all of his parts. And he's just been so cheerful about it all. He's so thankful. And then on the right at the bottom, we have Johnny Erickson Tata, quadriplegia since 16. Continue in prayer and watch. And the same with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving, because if you're not thankful, it just means you're out of touch with reality. You don't even know what's going on. And then we have to say something about intercessory prayer before we go home. It says, praying also for us, you see at the top in the text. And while you're praying, please pray for us. And Ephesians 6:18, the spiritual warfare passage, twin to this passage. Again, praying always, and also please pray for me. Prayer. In 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for other people, not just for yourself. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions. Intercessions, you're going to pray for somebody else. Intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Pray for everybody, because once again, when you pray for somebody, things change. All the time in the Bible, we find people praying for others, not just for themselves. So in 2 Kings 6:17, Elisha prays, Lord, open the eyes of my servants so that he can see the angels that are helping us. Colossians 1:9, we do not cease to pray that you might be fruitful in every good work. I'm praying that you'll be fruitful. Acts 12:5, prayer was made without ceasing for Peter in prison by the church, and he was released. For Samuel 12:23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. It would be wrong for me not to pray for you. I'll pray for you. In the top right-hand side, have mercy on my son. Lord, have mercy on my son. What a great prayer. Luke 22:32, I have prayed for you all, Jesus to Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I've prayed for you, Lord. Help this person to stand strong. James 5:16, pray for one another that you may be healed. In Ephesians 3:14, I bow my knees unto the Father that he would grant you to be strengthened in the inner man, to be strong on the inside. You have to pray for other people. David Arnold, a CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance missionary, when he was a kid, his parents were missionaries in Africa. And his father was away on some kind of a preaching tour. And while he was gone, his mother came down with typhoid fever and she was dying. And so here's David and his sister, just little kids. And they're listening to the other missionaries talk about what are they going to do with David and his sister when mom died. Well, they realized, uh-oh, this is really bad. So David and his little sister that night snuck into the mother's room. They were told, you know, not to pester her, but they snuck into her room and they prayed that the Lord make her better and not let her die. Next morning, she's all better. Why? Well, you just have to continue in prayer and pray for the other people too, because every single time you pray for somebody, something fine happens to that person. This is our closing story. It has a few parts, so hang in there. But what a great story. In the March 27, 1950 issue of Life magazine, there was an article called Why the Choir Was Late. It told about 15 members of a choir at a church in Nebraska, Westside Baptist Church. And they were all late for various reasons. And this actually happened on the first day of March in 1950. And so the Snopes website, you know, that does all the fact-checking, they fact-check this, and it is legitimate, just like Life magazine said in 1950. Researchers later found out that each person would be late for a different reason, and they did their calculations and found out that the chances of this working out would be like a million to one. Million to one. Why should this work? You just have to know that. People in churches always pray for their church. I hope you pray for Avalon. We always pray for our churches. And so here's what happened. It's time for choir practice. The pastor and his wife and his daughter usually came about 5 minutes early to practice, but their daughter's dress had to be changed at the last minute, so they were late. Madonna Vandergrift, a high school sophomore, was late because she's having trouble with her math homework, so she's late. Rowena and Sadie Estes, they were ready on time, but their car wouldn't start. So they called Madonna Vandergrift for a ride, but she was late because she's working on her math homework, so now Rowena and Sadie are late. Now, Mrs. Schuster would normally be on time with her little daughter, Susan, but on this particular evening, she had to help her mother with something, so she was running late. Herbert Kiff, he would have been ahead of time, but he felt compelled to finish writing this letter he was working on, so he was late. Joyce Black said she just was feeling lazy, just plain lazy, so she stayed in her warm house, it was cold that night, until the last possible moment, and so she was late. Now, Harvey Owl, he was going to take his two sons with him to practice, but they were talking and didn't realize they were running late, so they were late for choir practice. Marilyn Paul, the young pianist, planned to arrive half an hour early, but she fell asleep after dinner and her mother just couldn't wake her up until 5 minutes before practice would begin. Now she would be late. And Mrs. Paul, the choir director and mother of the young pianist, she was late because she wouldn't wake her daughter up, and she tried unsuccessfully, but the girl just wouldn't wake up. High school girls, Lucille and Dorothy, are neighbors, and they usually went to choir practice together. But Lucille was listening to a 7 to 7:30 radio program and wanted to hear the end. Choir practice is at 7:30. Dorothy waited for her, and that made them late. So they all should have been at choir practice at 7:20, but they were all late. At 7:25, a natural gas leak ignited and exploded in the church's furnace room. The noise of the explosion was heard all over town. The walls fell outward, and the wooden roof crashed straight down on the pile of rubble. But the church was empty because every single choir member was late, something which had never happened to that choir practice before. Continue in prayer. And when you pray, pray for me too. Continue in prayer, unceasing prayer, and watch, because we are at war. And the wolf is at the door. And always pray with thanksgiving, because being thankful is the same as grasping reality. And anytime you're not thankful, it's just because you're imagining things. It's not even real. And along with that praying, pray for us too. Because every single time you pray, something fine happens in God's universe. So let's not stop. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Now, Father God, we want to thank you for the reality of prayer. And we hear in your word that when we pray, dominoes fall in your universe. So I ask, Lord, that you give us all a spirit of prayer, that we'll pray for one another, that we'll watch because the wolf is at the door. And we ask, Lord, for that loved one. Each of us has someone in mind right now. We ask for that loved one to be blessed right now as we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.